CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city.
The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the producers and or the persons appearing on the program and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of CIUT-FM.
And I think he's referring to me. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to talk to Norman Otis Richmond, the bluesologist, in about 20 minutes. And it is June, Black History, Black Music Month is coming up. And so we're going to talk to Norman about that and also some other matters to do with black history. And we're going to be, first interview today is going to be with Justin Bahunga. He is with the FDU in Kinga. And you can find that at net, FDU-Nkinga.com. We'll want an organization dedicated to peace, reconciliation, all good things for Rwanda in a country that badly needs that. Justin is going to tell us, we hope, about the new problems faced by his party, an organization inside Rwanda where the leader has spent time in prison. That would be Victoire Ingabire. And we need to know what the new challenges are for that party. I think we're joined now by Justin Bahunga. Are you there, sir? Hello.
Hello, how do you feel? How are you feeling?
I'm doing well, and I'm glad to hear your voice. Thanks for staying up late to talk to us.
It's always nice talking to you. I can't miss that.
Very good. Justin, we're hearing reports that your party leader, Victoire Ingabire Umahoza, has been recently getting extra attention from the authorities. She spent 7 years in prison for really no reason other than that she wished to be a candidate to run for president of Rwanda. What sort of difficulties? I understand that she tried to meet with friends and family, and that meeting was somehow either disrupted or broken up. What can you tell us?
Thank you, Phil. What happened was that the party, FDU Inkinga, like any other party, if you want to be registered, you must have 200 members from all over the country, from the five provinces. And therefore, our president, Victoire Ingabire Umahoza, was in this process of looking for supporters and for members. So she had planned to visit people in Ikirehe sector district. But then when they organized a small meeting, they get together actually, not like a meeting, in a lodge. There are about 22 people, and they're sharing a drink, and therefore the president wanted to talk to them about our party, its objectives, and the vision. But then immediately, three people erupted into the room and started to want to be part of the group. Mm-hmm. And then she said, okay, if you want to join us, but you are not with us, so why would you come? We haven't invited you. Said, okay, want to be there. Said, okay, if you want, sit just next to us, and we have a chat. And then they went out, and in a few minutes, a bigger group came, and they started to talk ill about what they were doing. And then our president sensed that it would be trouble. She went out and wanted to go, but then she remembered that there were some bills to pay. So her assistant came in to pay the bill, But then he was stopped by the local executive and beaten up, saying that he was taking photographs. Mm-hmm. Now, they took the telephone, but then they checked and found there was no photo, but he had been beaten. So they went back home. And what was very surprising was that these very people who came to disrupt the meeting were seen on a video on YouTube and accusing our president of our party, Bitwa Ngabire Muhoza, of having been in a meeting and calling on the attendees that he wanted them to recruit them for a terrorist group. And that he had told them that he doesn't want anyone else except the Hutu, and particularly those who have been in the former army president, late President Habyarimana, but also those who have been who are unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you understand that it's impossible for someone at that point to say, oh, can you come and join the terrorist group? And also to say, I want Hutus only. So we are so shocked. As if these people who had disrupted the meeting were the ones who are on YouTube being recorded saying, I just want to recruit them for the terrorist group, or even to say that she wanted only Hutus.
Mm-hmm. So, it just sounds like a provocation, like they are trying to put words in Victoire's mouth, try to suggest that the old charges that she's inciting. But it seems to be part of a general escalation against FDU and Kingi, is it not? There's been chapters before this. We have the missing vice president. We have an assassinated assistant to Victoire, and now this harassment of her. Is that your reading of it?
It is, actually. Of course, you forgot that you have got 10 people who are in jail. The top leadership in Rwanda is also in jail. It's an escalation in the sense that is something that is not relenting since she came out of a prison.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I think someone said that a soldier is like fish, that the fish out of water, it dies. But also, I think a politician without a population, it can't function.
Yes.
So I suspect, and I think it is they're true, that they don't want her to approach and to be near the population and to recruit, because she is such a charismatic and a popular figure whom the government thinks is a threat to its grip on power.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is the one way of, after arresting all the leadership in Rwanda, one vice president disappearing, their personal assistant killed. So reviving the team is something that the government sees as a threat to its grip on power.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Justin Bahunga, FDU. Rwanda.com. And can we review the status of these people? You mentioned, of course, you have 9 in prison. You had a vice president, Mr. Twagirimana, who was in a prison. He was transferred to a super secure prison, and then they said escaped or is disappeared. Now, that's been months ago. Is there any accounting from any quarter as to where his whereabouts, his state of condition, anything like that?
Thank you so much, Phil. Again, this gentleman, Boniface Twagirimana, was separate from his friend, the nine, taken the so-called maximum security prison. Not only that, put in a separate house with three rooms, and he was there only for 5 days before we are told he vanished. Mm-hmm. But the warden who were there were arrested, and we are told, we have learned that in their testimony, when they were during their trial, they said that they could not have done anything because the boy, the man, is not a boy, was taken in an official car out of a prison. Mm-hmm. And what is very strange is that during the trial, our defense team asked for an investigation into the disappearance. And strangely enough, the judge said it was not necessary. They would take the word of the prison services, which said that they had evaded. Yeah. So the people we are accusing are the same people whom the judges believe have the truth.
Yeah, so the judge says he believes the prison authorities, but you know, why aren't, if I think anybody asking about this and making the simplest investigation would say, why is the prison official still there? Because he failed so clearly in his responsibilities. If you can't account for a prisoner, however he might have disappeared, why do you get to go on being the head of the prison, and why would a judge believe you?
Exactly. But they believe the word of the prison officials whom we are accusing of having complicit or responsible for the disappearance of our first vice president. Again, mm-hmm. It shows the connivance between the mm-hmm. officials and the disappearance of our first vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same case with Mutuimana, the personal assistant, you know, he was picked while he was taking a motorbike to go to his relatives, and was picked and stopped by police in uniform, taken to the police station. Then the following day, in the forest of Abujiswati, a shepherd finds the body. But then when you ask for an investigation, what we hear that they have captured the chief suspect in the murder, and then what do we find? The shepherd, as if this gentleman was trying to steal cows or a goat.
The man who found the body has been charged.
He's a chief suspect. Not that guy, but he's a chief suspect. He's in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But the people were seen. It was broad daylight. It was 3:30 in the afternoon at a park, public park. And mm-hmm. everybody was looking on. And when he tried to stop him, two people came in plain clothes. He tried to run, but two people in uniform came out. And he thought this is official arrest. And he was very sure that it would be no problem. So it was broad daylight. But the shepherd, the one who's been arrested, and the other, they can't find them. And yet we have asked for an investigation again. Nothing has been done so far.
Mm-hmm. You know, and again, this Justin Buhunga, FDU-NKingi. These are major political figures in your party, and they're known around the world thanks to the work of Victoire Ingabire. Have any of the celebrated human rights organizations, Amnesty, Human Rights Watch, are they aware of these cases, and are they saying anything?
No, I think that is another problem, Phil, which I think is another handicap, that people get used to what is happening, however bad it is, that is such a situation is not an event. I'm very sure this is going to happen when they are making the annual reports, but I haven't seen any outcry with these human rights organizations. And it comes back to me, it comes to my mind, something that I found very strange, which is very dangerous, is that people come to accept what is that. The case which comes to mind is this young man was beaten up by the police, and I thought later, he didn't even go to the police to report that he had been beaten up, mm-hmm. as if being kicked by a regular executive is not an issue. And so people have come to accept being depressed without raising a finger. Mm-hmm. Again, what you are saying, the international organization, I think they have come to be used to what is happening in Rwanda, that mm-hmm. everything that happens seems to be, unfortunately, normal.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're speaking to Justin Vuhunga, and there's a new condition developing, and I think people would like to know, and maybe this is going to impact, maybe it is impacting on the status of Victoire Ingabire and of your party, the FDU, that is hostilities. Certainly, rather sharp differences now are developing. The border has been closed for some period of time between Rwanda and Uganda. Consequences are going to flow from that, certainly for the economies of those two countries. What can you tell us? What does FDU and Kingi think of this crisis?
Of course, there is a very completely different attitude toward relationship with the neighbors. In the FDU, we think it is very crucial, and so for a country like Rwanda, which is landlocked, to have good neighbor relations with all neighbors. Rwanda depends so much on its transit route through Uganda to Kenya, the port of Mombasa, or through Burundi to Tanzania, to the port of Dar es Salaam. So it's quite vital for Rwanda to be on good terms with all its neighbors, and especially for Uganda. Mm-hmm. Since I was born, even during the times when the troubles between Rwanda and Uganda, during the first incursion in the 60s, and also during the war of RPF, whatever any border where there was no war, there was never any crossing of the border. But it is so strange and out of normal behavior of Rwandan authorities since before independence that some could dare cross the borders between Rwanda and Uganda. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you say the reasons which are given is that Uganda put Rwandans in the prison, but what we know is not those people who are being picked. Uganda has said it clearly. These are the network of spies who are going to Uganda to abduct, to kill, or to threaten people who visited the government and have run to Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, of that, there is a big impact because the prices of food, a lot of food was coming from Uganda, these prices have skyrocketed. And who suffers? The ordinary population, whom we are defending. So it directly attacks on our aims and objectives of defending the rights of the common person who is suffering from the closure of the border by the Rwandan authorities.
Mm-hmm. I suppose someone are asking and wondering if there might be actually a clash. Do you see any danger of that?
Actually, it's very difficult to predict, but because we know things have happened Rwanda has went into Congo, tried to destabilize Burundi. It has sent spies to try to destabilize Uganda. So you cannot predict anything, but the situation as it is, any small thing can easily lead to a clash between the two countries. We have got armies which are at the border, and they have still had cases, incidents, where the Rwandan soldiers have shot and killed people trying to cross, to get food across the border. What about in front, it happened that they shoot at a Ugandan soldier and the retaliation.
Yeah.
So it's not a good situation to leave. We have got two armies facing one another. And for how long is this sustainable? And that's the fear we had, the fear. And especially that the sort of language and the criticism on each side. But of course, mostly the papers in Rwanda, which are almost every day, they are throwing insults to the Ugandan authorities. A bit of provocative language, which can easily lead to heightened tension. And someone making a small mistake and leading all the people to fight. It's not a good situation at all.
Again, and we're speaking Justin Buhunga, fdu-rwanda.com. I urge you to go to that site for background. And last question, Justin, something dramatic happened recently that I hope the world hears about, and I'm sure you're interested because there's been a statement made by Paul Kagame in which he indicated responsibility open into the world that he was involved in the murder of Sesenga Shanga in Nairobi in 1998. Now, Sesenga Shanga was a major figure, once a member of the RPF, and was in the cabinet when the government was formed in July 1994. He left the country saying that the RPF had begun to commit crimes, mass killings of Hutus and others. And I remember clearly that the RPF and Paul Kagame said that, oh, no, that was the death of Sesenga Shanga was Hutu extremists. Now, he has said virtually to the whole world that Seth needed to be killed because he had been talking to the Ugandan leaders, apropos of what your previous comments. And I noticed another dramatic twist to this. The widow of Sesenga Shanga, Siri Sesenga Shanga, has now written to the Kenyan government saying, this man is saying he killed my husband. You investigated my husband's death. What are you going to do? And I would like to know what your thoughts are about this.
I think, again, Phil, I think this is the only head of state. There might be others, but I haven't heard you let me know if you know any other who can boast of saying, this person has been killed because he has overstepped the line. So meaning admitting that actually were responsible. In the case of also the case also Patrick Karegeya, where he said that if you betray the country, you get the consequences. That is a matter of time and how.
Yes.
And recently the court in South Africa or the police did say, and I quote, in the incident of Patrick Karegeya and Nyamwasa, he said these two incidents together with several other attempts on the lives of both Jerry Nyamwasa and the deceased in this case were directly linked to the involvement of the Rwandan government. This is a statement made after an investigation done by the police in South Africa. Again, during that, a government does accept or is proven to be involved in the murder of people outside of their country. This is a clear violation of the sovereignty of South Africa. It's a clear violation of sovereignty of the Republic of Kenya.
Yes.
And by the way, today, I mean, not only that, even the president was last week, he was in the northern part of Rwanda, and he was declared saying those guys who are talking on internet and in the radio criticizing the government, you target them and bring them back. And something else you don't have not to know feel is that on the 30th of last month, the Minister of Foreign Affairs invited the ambassadors and told them that some people outside of Rwanda, who said the government, and of course my name was mentioned, by the way, and he said, we have asked those embassies to tell their government to get those people back to us, and if not, we shall get them ourselves. And of course, you know, when it means get them ourselves,
yes,
it is what it is assassination, is abduction.
Yes.
And my name was mentioned.
Yes.
So again, this have to take seriously when you speak of Ndashonga, it's very true. But even publicly saying, we shall get to them.
Yes.
Not only that, he said in this meeting in Uganda, this is last Friday, he said there are two sorts of justice. One justice is right for the law. The second one is for those who are big-headed and we use different methods. That's the president saying it. So, strangely, we have got head of state who can publicly say we shall get people and we shall use extrajudicial means if they get big-headed.
Yes. It's a very chilling self-expose of someone who says he will flaunt law, the international laws, tells the whole world, and yet countries, I'm sorry to say, like Canada, Britain, and the United States, France, still embrace him. Justin Bahunga, it's a pleasure to talk to you. We thank you for all that information, and we want you to keep safe, and we look forward to talking to you again.
I hope I'm not to be back in Rwanda because I told you I'm on the list.
I'm going to come and get. I will come and get you out. I'm going to use the same extraterritoriality as he does. So, two can play the game.
Thank you so much, Phil.
Okay, pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Nice talking to you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, this is CIUT, the Taylor Report. Chilling interview, I have to say. This is a leader of a country that Canada cooperates with. And he says, yeah, I killed that guy. And I'm going to kill this other one. And if you, Britain, don't give me this other, I'll go and get him. And you say, well, who is this? Blackbeard the Pirate? You know, Captain Kidd? Maybe they're all, you know, want to be Donald Trump. I mean, we all understand he doesn't believe in international. This is why the world is getting into very frightening territorial waters. No international law, no UN charter. And as he pointed out, the human rights groups know when not to talk about people and when to claim they care about people, which is another galling matter. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. I think we have some music, and I'll just cross my fingers that I recognize it, and we'll come back and talk to Norman Otis Richmond, the bluesologist.